Surat al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد. Yesterday I mentioned that if we change something and make it a part of our culture, then not only does that thing become easy for us, but it also becomes enjoyable for us. We would like doing it. And all the things that we need to make a part of our culture are the wajibat, the obligations, the commands and the prohibitions, the amr and nahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are things that we need to make a part of our culture so that the obligations that we have from Allah become easy for us. And not only easy, we start enjoying doing them. Otherwise, if we don't make it a part of our culture, we will always find it a burden. We will always find it hard and difficult in doing things that Allah has made wajib or Allah has made haram on us. Just like the West. When I give an example about the West, how the West has made the escaping or the contempt of authority or the insubordination to rules and the freedom from rule, from authority, how the West has made the freedom from rule something likable, something that is good in their culture. If you look at America, if you look at the culture in America, you will see that people run away from obligations. They try to escape responsibility. They try to go away. They don't want to be obligated. Hence you see and hear different things. For example, you hear a person saying with pride that I am my own man. I am my own man. Or I don't take orders from anyone. I do what I want to do. And when they say this, obviously they say this with a sense of pride and pleasure. They have made not listening to obligations a part of their culture. They have made not being under the yoke of obligation a part of their culture, and hence they feel pleasure when they are free from obligations, when they are free from these responsibilities. Now, this statement that they make, for example, I do what I want to do, or for example, I am my own man, and I don't take orders from anyone. They say it with a sense of pride. This could also be said with a sense of regret, and sorrow, and grief. The same statement could be made with regret. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that you are on your own? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that you don't have any obligations? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that there's no one who's giving you orders? You say it's a good thing, but have you ever tried to analyze and really look at it and see if it's good or bad? To be independent of any authority? This is something that we need to recognize here. Because the truth is that such a person who doesn't have authority, or he doesn't have someone giving orders to him, or he doesn't have principles from above that are dictating his life, such a person's life is miserable. Such a person doesn't have happiness. Such a person doesn't have joy. He doesn't feel pleasure. He doesn't feel pleasure. Someone who says that I do what I like to do, that I am my own man and I like to do what my heart says and that's what I do, such a person lives his life without joy, without happiness. Such a person. If he says he's happy, then he is lying. He's lying. If a person who says that I live my own life and I do what I want to do, such a person, if he says that his life is happy, then he is lying. He's not saying the truth. And I'm saying these things right now, and I will give the proofs later. So that first you understand what I want to say, what my hypothesis is. So once you understood that, then I will give you details as to why it's correct. Why what I'm saying is right. Because this is something that is really important in our lives right now here in the West. Because those who came here from abroad, those who immigrated here, they might have certain principles that they have learned back home that they live their life by. But the children who are growing up here, they are being trained by this society to learn the principles of this society. And you need to know what those principles are and what those negative results are of those principles so that you know how to tackle those problems when they come up. Because really, a person who does not have or does not live his life according to principles that are from a higher authority. A higher authority can be anyone, either Allah or his boss. If a person doesn't have obligations, do's and don'ts, if a person doesn't have someone who's an authority above him, if a person doesn't live his life according to a program or a plan that is based on principles from above, then that person's life is miserable. He will not feel pleasure in his life. Pleasure, happiness, joy is found in a life that is led or by a program or a plan that is based on principles from a higher authority. That is the hypothesis I want you to understand at first. Understand this, my friends, because this is very important in our lives as we live here. Because you pray every day. You pray Salat every day. Tell me, how many of you enjoy that time? And how many of you feel a burden that you just want to get off your shoulders? Ask yourself, you don't need to tell me, just tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. How many of you find it hard to pray at the first time? Let alone pray itself. How many of you make Salat at the beginning time, or have a hard time doing it? difficult time doing it, feel a burden that I would rather not have it. You see, this is what I'm trying to talk about here. How do we make that prayer that we make enjoyable to us? How do we make the obligations Allah has given us enjoyable to us? What are the obstacles that are preventing us from enjoying obligations? From enjoying wajibat? From enjoying staying away from muharramat? What are those obstacles? That if we recognize those obstacles, then we might have a chance of making and being finding pleasure in the obligations that Allah has given us. Send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So I want to make a conclusion of my introduction that I just gave here. So it's repeated in your mind before I go on. Before I go on. My friends, if someone says that people who don't have obligations are better off than people who do have obligations, he is lying. It's wrong. If a person says that my life is better and I'm more happier by not having obligations, then he's lying. He is lying. If a person says that I don't like obligations, then he's lying. He hasn't even understood himself. Many people don't understand themselves. Many people don't even know who they are. He doesn't know who he is. That's why he's saying this. If he knew who he is, then he would not deny the fact that a life with obligations is better than a life without obligations. Meaning a life with taklif is better than a life without taklif. This is the introduction. One note I will add here, one note. Just so that you understand this. On the other hand, on the flip side, this is also true. That if you have so many obligations that there is no room to breathe and it's suffocating you and you can't do anything, every step you take, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. If every step you take there's an obligation, then life would be suffocating. Then yes, it will be difficult. Such obligations are difficult. Where the obligations are such that every step of the way that you have something that you're being told. And this is the misconception that many people have when they talk about Islam and Deen. They say, oh, you know, if we try to practice Deen, if you try to practice Islam, there are so many things in Islam that you can't even breathe, we'll suffocate. And khafemish. Say, we can't even breathe. This is a misconception that they give. And I want to explain that. This is also wrong. If there are so many obligations in your life that you don't have any room to do anything, room to breathe, no freedom to think for your own self or to do something your own self, that also is negative. That also is bad. It's wrong. There must be some time that you have that is for your rest. And some time that you have where you make the choice, where you're not being told what to do. There has to be that role. And I want to explain that to you through this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And listen to this hadith. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, Amir al-Mu'mineen had said that out of the week, you're working the week. He says, out of the week, make one day for yourself. Do not work on that day. He says, do not work on that one day. Take one day off as a holiday. Do something other than what you routinely do as your work. For example, if you're working as a teacher, or the mechanic, or anything like that. He said, if this is your work, your obligation that you do, then one day of the week, take off and do something else. What do you do? You're on your own. Do something that you want to do. Whether you want to wash your clothes, you want to wash your dishes, clean your house, or you just want to lay down and rest. Imam says that one day take off and do something else. You see this, how Imam is advising in those days. Nowadays, after so much research is done on sociology and on human beings and human psychology, people are saying that there must be a time for rest and that vacation time should be there so that man can find his balance. Imam Ali had said 1400 years ago that if you take that one day off, you will find balance in your life between work and rest. Is he how he's saying this? Yes, rest is there. And both of them complement each other, my friends. This is the beauty of how Allah made us. Both of them complement each other, just like day complements night. Day and night, they complement each other. Like heat and cold complements each other. Like tiredness and sleep complement each other. You know, you're fatigued, tired on one hand and sleep on the and rest on the other hand. They complement each other. If you are tired, you will see that your sleep will be sweeter and better. If you are not tired, try to sleep when you're not tired and see. You will be rolling around in bed trying to see how you can go to sleep. You'll push yourself and you won't be able to go to sleep, you're not tired. You see how tiredness, you know, ta'aban, tiredness complements noon and sleep and rest. How does it complement that? This is how you see that obligations complement non-obligations. They complement each other. They go hand in hand. The pleasure of obligations is felt when you have rest, and the pleasure of rest is felt when you have obligations. This is how it goes in hand in hand. But I want to go on from here. But I'll give an example before I go on to explain to you what obligations are and what is the thinking of obligations. How that motivates a person and gives him pleasure in his life. I'll give an example that is easy for us to understand, especially for those who have been to Hajj. If you've been to Hajj, how many of you have been to Hajj? Okay, I don't see that many hands. Inshallah, may Allah write your Hajj this year in this month of Ramadan, that He makes you invite and invites you to His house this year, inshallah. My friends, when you go for Hajj, there's so many rules that Allah has, amr and nahi that Allah has, do's and don'ts that Allah has. Every step of the way, you see, once you wear ihram, then all these rules apply. You can't look in the mirror. You can't pull off your hair. You can't break leaves. You can't wear perfume. So many things, on and on and on, it goes on. And for everything that you do, sheep, sacrifice the sheep, kafar. Everything that you do, sheep, and sometimes camel. So now, everyone you see is running around trying to make sure that they don't do anything wrong. Don't do anything wrong. You see, all these rules are there. Now we came to tawaf. We started making tawaf around the Kaaba. You know? So now, when you make tawaf, what happens? You have to start at Hajr al-Aswad. You have to end at Hajr al-Aswad. You have to walk within Maqam Ibrahim. You have to walk with your shoulder, left shoulder towards the Kaaba. You can't go backwards. Right? You cannot, for example, turn away from the Kaaba. All of these rules are applying. So someone Hajis are learning the rules, as I explained to them. And they're like, okay. Then I said, listen, so one Haji asked, so what should we read? He says, you can read whatever you want. But isn't there anything that we should read? I said, no, I mean, Allah has given you freedom here. You can do what you want. He said, no, there must be something to read here. You want to read something? Mama, you see, all the places where Allah has set an obligation, they're fine. They said, Alhamdulillah, now we know what to do. The place where Allah says, now you're free to do what you want to do, now we're confused. What should we do now? What dhikr should we read? What should we say? What should be in our mind? What should be in our heart? Allah says, that's up to you. Isn't there any hadith that the Imams have said that this is that? Why are you complaining about this? Allah gave you freedom. Why do you have even the freedom that you have? Think what you want. But see, no, Mawlana, you know, we want to take advantage of the opportunity we have. That's why we ask you if there's anything recommended, we want to read that. So you understood something. That something is what? What did you understand here? That person understood that taking advantage of opportunities and taking benefit of opportunities is obeying the commands and obligations and taklif of Allah. You see, when you have a plan, when Allah has given you a plan, you see, at that time you're happy because you're doing something. You're fulfilling something. Your obligations are being done, you're happy. The minute Allah gives you freedom, you're confused what to do now. You see what happened? You see where I'm going at? You see, obligations give fulfillment in life. They give the pleasure in life because you feel that you are doing something. When you don't have obligations, that's when you're confused. What should I do now? Why did Allah say anything right now? Any place you go, you'll see this. You know? We go to Arafat. We stay there. Now, the only wajib thing is that you stay there. That's the only wajib. Everyone's happy and going to Arafat. They wear the ihram and Alhamdulillah, we're going to Arafat and this and that. When they come to Arafat, then they say, okay, Murana, what should we do now? Well, you're on your own. You can make du'as, you can do whatever. You can sleep also and do something. But isn't there anything recommended for us to do? This and that, do this, do that. You see, again, Allah gave you freedom here. Why don't you enjoy your freedom? Do as your heart wishes. Do what you want. But you see, people want to know. No, we want to know what Allah says so we can do that. In other words, if Allah gives taklif to you, you find pleasure in fulfilling it. Wherever Allah gives freedom, that's when you're confused and do not know what to do in this place. My friends, it's taklif and obligations that give pleasure in life. That is what gives pleasure in life. Otherwise, if we don't have a program, we don't have a plan, that person is miserable in his life. He's confused, what should I do now? He's never happy with what he's doing. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You know, in Hajj, there are so many taklif. So many obligations you have in Hajj. So many things. One thing after another. Ahram, not ahram, here, there, everything you do. You see, all these things happen. And when the last day comes where you are going to hit the Ravi, and do the Ravi for the last day, which is the hand. After Mabit in Mina, the Ravi on the 12th, that's it. When you do the Rami, you're happy, Alhamdulillah, Hajj is done. But there's a sadness also. That's it. Nothing else. You see, why are you sad now? Why are you sad? Now you're free. He said, but I liked it when I had obligations. I liked it when I had to go through this. Hajj goes by with so much pleasure. Even though there's hardship and difficulty, but there's pleasure. Why? Because you're doing something. You are a part of a program. You're part of a program, my friend. This is obligations. When Allah gives you taklif, that's when we find fulfillment in life. Wherever He gives you freedom, that's where you will feel miserable. Allah, what should I do now? What should I do now? I'm lost now. This, my friends, is it. Send me a salawat. So at the end, man has many needs, my friends. Man has many needs, necessities. You know, he's in need of food. He's in need of water. He's in need of rest. He's in need of work. He's in need of shelter. He's in need of many things. He's in need of taklif also, obligations. Whenever, now, I want to reach a result now. Whenever these needs are fulfilled, any need in your life, whenever a need is fulfilled, that's when you find pleasure. For example, you're thirsty. You're thirsty. When you drink water and quench your thirst, you'll see you find a pleasure there. You're tired. When you rest, you find pleasure there. And if you're over-rested, you know, there are some people who oversleep. You'll see, whenever you oversleep, sleep for a long time, you'll see you wake up worse than what you went to bed before. You feel more tired. You feel more worse than what you went to sleep with. So now when you oversleep, then what helps you is working, doing something, becoming active. You see, anytime a need is fulfilled, that is when man gets pleasure. Lazzat is when you fulfill your needs, your hajat. Whatever hajat you have, whatever hajat you have, whatever ihtiyaj you have, whenever you fulfill that, that's when you feel pleasure and lazzat in life. And now, when we look at these two, this work and rest, and when we see that whenever there's a need of it and we fulfill it, then we get pleasure. So now there are two types of needs that we have. There are two types of needs that we have. There are those hajat that are ma'navi, and there are those hajat that are maddi. Ma'navi hajat are our spiritual needs. The need for obligation falls under that. The need for love falls under that. And then there's the maddi hajat. For example, hunger, food for hunger, water for thirst. Any of these hajat that we have. Whenever these hajat are met, you find pleasure. But the pleasure that is felt in fulfilling ma'navi hajat and spiritual needs far outweighs the pleasure that is felt when you fulfill your material hajat and your maddi needs. Far outweighs it, my friend. Far outweighs it. When you eat, when you're hungry, you are happy for a certain while. That's it. It doesn't continue after that. It's not constant. But when you fulfill your obligation towards Allah and do a prayer that is owed to Allah, then you will see that pleasure that one gets of fulfilling that obligation far outweighs the pleasure that is felt in maddi obligations. In other words, my friends, This is why I'm saying, anyone who says he doesn't want the kalif or he doesn't like the kalif and he's happy with it, he's lying. Why? Because happiness comes when obligations are fulfilled. A person who says, oh, I'm my own man, I live my own life, I don't take orders from anyone, that person will never be happy in his life is miserable. And if he says he's happy, he's lying. Because the only way you get happiness and pleasure in life is by fulfilling your needs and necessities. And obligation is one of the necessities of man. If obligations are not there, then that person doesn't have the basis to be happy. My friends, Allah, when He gave Salat to us and Saum and Hajj and these wajibat, and He gave these Muharramat to us, He knew that this is a need for man. And when we fulfill that need, that's when we will find pleasure in our life. That's when we find happiness in our life. Otherwise, if we live our life without praying, you see that man who does lives his life without obligations, his life is miserable. On the outward, they will say it in a way that they look happy. Man, I'm happy the way I am, you know, no obligations, nothing. I don't take orders from anyone. But if you look at his life, he's miserable. He's miserable in his life. Why? Because there's no obligations in his life. It's obligations that give us the pleasure in life, my friends. It's obligations. Because if you're resting all the time, you will be bored of resting. If you're enjoying all the time, you're bored of enjoying. For example, I'll give an example. If I hire someone, you know, like for example, there are people and kids, this and that, let's say, I'll give this example. Maybe not an appropriate example, but I'll give it anyway. So we understand the issue. Alright? Let's say a kid goes to nightclub and dances there. Right? So he finds a certain pleasure in doing that. Right? He goes there and dances. Now he's not doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He goes there on Friday nights or Saturday nights for 2-3 hours and that's it. So he enjoys it. Now for example, I hire the kid. Hey, listen. I tell the kid, listen man, I want to hire you here at the club. Wow, great, what should I do? He said, I just want you to dance all day long. Just dance here all day long. Tell me, now would that dancing give him pleasure? Now would that club give him pleasure? You see, my friend, understand this. It won't. He'll be tired of it. What are you saying? Right, you see those guys over there, you know, who are on the streets, you know, with the Liberty Income Tax dancing around, right? Or for, you know, car washes, you know, they dance around on the streets. Do you think they like doing that job? Or they're doing it because they're forced to do it. They don't like doing that job. And he said, man, you're dancing all day long. You're doing nothing but standing around and doing what you want. Don't you like it? No, I don't like it. I'm doing it because I have to do it. My friends, understand this. It's obligations, having a program, having a plan from above that gives us the pleasure in life. This is what makes us happy in life. That's what we need to understand. I will stop over here, inshallah. And since we have time today, 5 minutes, inshallah, I'll open the floor for questions, if anyone has any questions in regards to this. Salawat, Madhuwat. Yes. He's asking about throwing up, if it breaks your fast. If it's done intentionally, amadan, it breaks your fast, amadan. Right? But if it's not done amadan, you know, like ghairi muhammad, you know, accidentally, it's fine. It won't break your fast. If you use a toothbrush, toothpaste, it will not break your fast unless it goes into your throat, meaning the water or moisture goes into your throat. So if you are able to make sure that it doesn't go into your throat, or by habit it doesn't go into your throat, then you're fine. But if by habit you see that whenever you brush, you see that it goes into your throat, then in that case you should not brush.
Same with the miswak?
Miswak also, same thing. Any other questions? Yes.
What do you call kafara?
Okay. Kafara is atonement. You see, for example, if you are caught doing a crime, so you do a crime. Let's say that, for example, you shoplift. Any other crime that you do. There is a punishment for it, and there is a penalty for it. Right? The punishment might be either jail time or probation. The penalty is above that. That above that, you have to give this fine. Right? Up to, let's say, $5,000. So, whenever you do a, for example, a sin like not fasting, praying, you know, whatever it is, there's certain places where Allah says, okay, you can only make that up, and that is what you have to do. But some places Allah says, no. Not only do you have to make it up, but you'll also have to pay a penalty also. A fine for that. So for example, if you don't fast, there's not only do you have to make up the fast, but you have to pay a penalty also for that. A fine. So this is above the punishment for what you have done. Right? This is because of the grievous nature of the crime, so that it can remind you that I should not do it again. Right? If you do a crime, they charge you the fine. Why? Because they want to make sure that you understand, don't do it again. Otherwise, you know, you stole something that was $10 and now you have to pay something that's $500 in fine. You're saying this is only worth $10. This is to remind you by paying $500 not to do that $5 again. Alright, so that is kafara.
Now we brought that. I had 2 kidney surgery. I know if I fast, it would hurt. So, what could I do?
Yes. If obviously, you know, because of the fact that you cannot fast, fasting and any other obligation are meant for people who are able to do it. If you're unable to do it due to health reasons, whatever it is. So, in that case, right, for every day that you haven't fasted because of your illness, then you will give a mud of food. A mud is like a plate of food, which, you know, for example, in our time, it's like $5, let's say, a day, which you give for food to the poor and needy or mustahab. Right? You do that, this is mustahab now. Right? It's mustahab to do that. But the main thing is that if you ever regain your health, you have to make up those fasts. If you regain your health, you have to make up those fasts. And if you die in the way that you weren't able to make up those fasts, then your son has to make up those fasts for you that you have missed in your illness and you were not able to do.
So I have to pay the kafara when I'm not able to do it.
Yes, that is mustahab. That is recommended. It's not wajib. It's not wajib to do that, right? It's recommended for you to give a mud of food in charity. Alright then, inshallah, we'll stop over here so that we can get ready for prayer. Salawat alaikum.